welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Welcome to Syosset Library's Turn the Page podcast. I am one of your hosts today, Jessica, media engagement, community engagement specialist. And I am here with my amazing co-host,
Casey, librarian. But if you're giving your title, I'll give mine. I'm the tech app manager.
And we're here with one of our favorite authors and interviewers. I think other than Tell Me Lies, we've had you on for pretty much every single one of your books so far since then. Please introduce yourself and tell us about Bye Baby.
Yeah, hi, I'm Carola Lovering. Thank you both for having me back. I think we have done every book together except for Tell Me Lies. So thank you for being loyal readers and for the kind words. So yes, I will tell you about Bye Baby. Bye Baby is the story of a very complicated, ultimately toxic friendship between two women named Billy and Cassie. Billy and Cassie have been best friends for the majority of their lives until recently. So we meet them when they are in their mid-30s, and over the past few years, they've begun to drift apart. Cassie has a brand new baby. She's newly married. She has this burgeoning career as a lifestyle fashion influencer, all these fancy friends in Gramercy Park where they live. And Billy, on the contrary, is single. She's child-free by choice. And she just feels very pushed out and kind of shunned by Cassie's new priorities. So the catalyst for this book, which is not a spoiler, it happens right on page one, is that Cassie's infant daughter goes missing at a party. And we, the reader, unbeknown to Cassie, learn that it was Billy who's responsible for kidnapping the baby. And so that's how the book starts. From there, so it's kind of like, it's not a whodunit. You know exactly who did it, but the question is why. So from there, the book goes back into two different timelines. The first timeline goes back about 6 weeks earlier to tell the events that led up to this moment of the kidnapping and what happened between these two friends in recent weeks. And the second timeline goes back much further to the early aughts when Billy and Cassie first meet in middle school in their Hudson Valley hometown. And that timeline tells the story of their friendship over the years. So that's the gist. I see this. I mean, this book is definitely a suspense. I wouldn't call it a thriller. It's a suspense. It's a like psychological suspense, but it's also really this close examination / deconstruction of a complicated lifelong friendship, which I think, you know, I hope will be relatable for women. I feel like women at one, you know, have some kind of friendship like this, not the kidnapping part, obviously, but friendships that are complicated, especially as the people in them are changing and kind of becoming who they are. I just think that is a relatable relationship, I hope.
It is. Actually, it's so funny because Stacy and I talked about it a little bit at lunch today. You know, and one of the things I really did want to kind of start off by asking, and I know Stacy was interested in this too, was, you know, I was going to ask just, you know, about the nature of the story. You know, your stories do tend to focus around various toxic relationships, but mostly romantic. Although there's a few in between situations within, but this one really is about a toxic friendship and a friend breakup, basically, you know, in slow motion, I suppose you're you know it's not going to be good from what happens in the very beginning. You know, yeah, it's like a real slow burn friend breakup. How was that different for you, or was it not really that different in crafting than previous books?
I had always known that I wanted to write a book about that centered on a friendship, on a complicated friendship, where I, like, you're right, I do tend to write about toxic relationships, but they've all been toxic romantic relationships in nature. And I feel like my characters, like my protagonists, always have had strong friendships, but they've been more side relationships that I haven't like fully mined. And so I had always known that I wanted to write like a friendship book. And I really sat down with this one to write like my friendship book. Like, this is not going to be about, I mean, the romantic relationships can be on the side, but this is really going to focus on friendship. And, you know, I think that in terms of like writing it and structure, it probably feels the most, it kind of feels like Tell Me Lies, except like Tell Me Lies friendship version, because you have the back and forth, the alternating POVs between the two people in the friendship, the way that you did with Lucy and Steven in their relationship. It goes back and forth each chapter, and in a very like simple way, where like, I feel like the structure of that book is kind of simple like that. It does weave in another timeline, but you know, with my middle two books, there were multiple POVs, and you had like, I think like three for Can't Look Away and three for Too Good to Be True. And so I really went back to my structure for Tell Me Lies on this one and kind of thought about it that way, and wanted to really, just wanted it to be very psychological. Like, you're in the heads of both of these women. You are kind of getting an inside look into how they're experiencing the same situation, which is how I felt about Tell Me Lies. Like, how perspective is really big in that book. Like, perspective is big here. Like, an event for Billy in the book, which is so devastating, to Cassie, it's like nothing. She doesn't care. And that perspective is still interesting to me to play around with. And so, yeah, I mean, it was definitely the same but different. I mean, I think that with friendship, it's a little more complicated because, like you said, you use the term friendship breakup, which is so true. Like, we have these friendship breakups, and I've read somewhere, I don't know if it's true, but like, for some people, these can be even more devastating than a romantic breakup, because there are no guidelines or like any kind of manual for how to get through it, or like if it's even a real thing. But friends do drift apart, and you can't hold on to everyone as life moves on. And it's really hard and really complicated. And so I guess in that sense, it's feels a little bit more nuanced to write about a friendship versus a romance.
I have to say two things that you kind of brought up that I wanted to touch upon, is that before you said you wanted to like make this book relatable, and I think it 100% is, I mean, in so many different ways, like, not that I have the toxicity between Billy and Kathy with my friends, but I was saying to Jessica at lunch, like, I could see, like, I just, you know, like rereading some stuff of it, I was like, oh my God, I now see me and one of my best college friends in this friendship. In the sense that I'm Kathy, I have a family, I'm married, kids, and my friend is profusely child-free, like by choice, super happy about it. And I was just reading a part when she's on the plane with Jane in the beginning. I was like, oh, like, you want kids? Like, you know, we watch her like Instagram stuff and kind of, you know, cringe a little bit. I was like, oh my God, like, my friend told me, like, you know, not that she cringes in mind, I don't post a lot of stuff, I'm not an influencer by any means, but I was just like, oh, like, I wonder if, like, you know, because sometimes you see parents are always like, oh my God, my son, daughter, whatever, oh this, and like their whole lives become, I guess not really an influence, but like just like, here's everything about my family, like all the time. That like I was like, oh my God, if she does that, I was like, if I post something about my son's birthday, is she gonna say that? Like, oh, like why'd you post that? So I do think it's really relatable. And like the perspectives of both Billy and Cassie, and then going from like 6 weeks out to like even when they met, I think you did a really good job with that, that it's not confusing whatsoever. And I say that because I'm in a book club and we read a book that I loved. They kind of were mediocre. It was Tom Lake by Ann Patchett. I listened to it. And to
Yeah, me
me, I
too.
was
I
like,
listened to
oh yeah,
that.
I can follow the back and forth of her life of this main character. Like, it's so hard to figure out the different things. And as I'm like, that was in my head while I'm reading that, because that was one of their biggest things. Like, oh, I couldn't tell when they're doing it. I was like, well, first of all, like, you have this is who it is speaking and this is when. But you just like, it's so seamless that you're like, yeah, I could totally feel like I'm going down memory lane. I'm gonna do a quick shout out to my neighbor because she's obsessed with you and loves you and she wants to say hi. So my neighbor Amy says hi. She's like,
Hi,
you're talking to her? I've
Amy.
read all her books. Oh my God. I was like, ma'am, I'll tell her you say hi.
Oh, thank you. That's so sweet. Well, yeah, I mean, I think the social media thing that you were just or aspect that you were just describing is interesting. Like my because Cassie is so kind of glaringly obnoxious about it, the way that, you know, some influencers can come off that way. And my agent, who I'm very close to, just had a baby a couple months ago. Like, and she's now like, you know, post pictures of her baby on social media as we all do. And she's like, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm Cassie. Like, I'm becoming Cassie. And I'm like, but everyone has a little bit of that in them. Not everyone. Okay. There are some people that are extremely cool and like, literally just don't post on social media, and those people are so cool and like grounded, and I want to hang out with them. But most of us, you know, I think with kids or with anything, we're posting our highlights to Instagram. And it's just so I think that that's kind of a maybe a, an aspect of Cassie's character that can feel a little bit triggering for people because you're like, oh, she's so annoying, but I also kind of do that sometimes. But yeah, I mean, I think that the whole social media piece was like another interesting angle to think about with this book, and kind of, you know, there's a lot to talk about there as well.
Yeah, I think that you definitely touched upon that, and it is interesting. You know, and there's a lot of secrets in their past that did keep them together for a while, even though once you really read about what happened after they graduated, you could see that the drift was going to happen for various reasons. I mean, I could say right now, you know, Cassie is much more concerned with social status and other things that are similar to that, I think, than Billy seems to be. You know, she has this whole history of having a grandmother who has a lot of money and her family feels various ways about it. And, you know, Cassie seems very much wanting to impress and have the right labels. However, at the same time, there are reasons why I think it's kind of funny that she does kind of end up just putting her entire life online, because she does kind of have like she does have some things in her history that she's not 100% proud of. So, you know, it's like in this whole like stage of reinventing herself to be the person she wants to be, she also kind of puts herself out there in another way, which I thought was interesting. And I always find it interesting when like parent influencers want to be influencers, because like you really want to, I would imagine you'd want to protect your child, and you know, in the way that like you're not constantly using them to market things. But it's just like it's the complete opposite with them. You know, she's like, oh, let me show you feed. Here's me feeding my baby. here's me in my cozy little house, which is actually a very expensive house. And it is a bit, I think, jarring when you kind of see the difference between them. Like, Billy could be the person living this crazy life, going out and doing all these things because she doesn't have a baby, but that's just not who she is. And Cassie, she does love her daughter, but she's kind of rolling it into the life that she's always wanted.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I think she's very much on the path to reinventing herself. That's what she wants. And she's using social media to kind of exacerbate that. And yeah, I mean, I think that I feel the same way about influencers with kids. Like, I never want to judge anyone, but it does seem stressful. Like, it's that seems stressful to maybe feel the pressure, like you have to share so much about your child and like not really knowing who's watching and kind of like, I don't know. I mean, I guess at a certain point, like you just have to not care and kind of not think about that part, but
Obviously to each their own. It just, it is very, very interesting, and it is a completely just different take on things. It does, I don't want to put give away too much because it does kind of play into the bigger picture of the story.
yeah, but it was I knew that I had like I knew that I was going to have Cassie be an influencer pretty much from the get-go because it gives Billy this window into Cassie's life, which I think is like the really one of the really weird kind of creepy things about social media is how like you can know what's going on in somebody's life, especially somebody who posts a lot or is an influencer, without like being in touch with them. And even with friends, I felt that like not in like a way where I'm angry about it, but just, some of my good friends, like I won't talk to them for months because, that's life when you're an adult. Everyone's living their life and you can't talk as much anymore, but I'll know what's going on because of Instagram, and it's such a weird thing. It's just so anyway, like having Billy be able to have that almost constant window into Cassie's day-to-day life, even when Cassie is like ignoring her texts and et cetera, I knew would be really important to the plot and would be really important to the suspense element of the book, in terms of just like a lot, ultimate no spoilers, but what ultimately happens is thanks to Instagram.
I mean, that brings up the question that I was kind of curious of, like, did you know the what the characters, like, who they were kind of gonna be? Because you just said that you always knew Cassie would be that, like, influence, or did you kind of know that, or like, did you delve into other aspects of their personalities? Because, like you said, you really get into their heads to learn, like, all their thoughts, feelings, motivations. So what
Yeah.
exactly kind of, I mean, I do just that about with Cassie, but like with Billy, did you know she was gonna be like kind of the opposite of Cassie and stuff from the get-go, or did that develop as you were writing?
I did know that they were going to be very different. I mean, really what I was trying to do was to write a friendship where the people in the friendship grow apart because ultimately they're very different people, but that doesn't really become apparent until they're adults and have grown into the people that they are. Because I think when you're younger, when you're a teenager, or when you're in college, even in your 20s, like everyone is sort of in the same place and everyone has the same stuff going on. Everyone's like, you're in school, you're trying to get into college, then you're in college, then you're looking for a job, you're in the early days of the workforce, and you're sort of like, it's hard to it can be hard to differentiate yourself from people that you feel close to then. And it can become more apparent later on when, like, you know, Billy and Cassie is, when we meet them, are 35, and they clearly are very different people who have grown, like, they have grown apart, but they've also just grown into the people that they always were. And I think that Billy, another thing that I wanted to explore was, like, Billy, you know, Billy has this revelation about Cassie that, like, she's changed so much. But something that I really wanted to, like, make clear with the flashback chapters is that she didn't really change. That's always who she was. She was always self-absorbed and wanting a different life and not treating Billy well. And Billy just didn't see it until she finally did. And I think that that's just life sometimes.
True. I mean, even with, like, I have friends that, like, I'm literally the age of the characters in the book. I'm 35, and I have friends that I've grown up from, like, you know, elementary school that I've grown apart, whether because we don't live near each other or, you know, like, life gets in the way, like, we're both, you know, parents or something like that. And I almost joke, like, my husband was telling me that, he's like, yeah, we used to be, like, so social and, like, going out all the time before we had a kid. And I was like, yeah, before we had a kid and a house and, like, stuff that takes up our time. And, like, I've had to kind of say to a friend of mine who was like, oh, when can I, like, hang out? Like, I don't have, you know, like, the whole day to spend with you. Like, I want to also be home with my family and my dog. Like,
yeah,
I still have some similar interests, but, like, I don't have the time that I used to.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, that is something I also wanted to explore was like a friendship and what the dynamic is between when one friend has kids and one friend doesn't. Obviously, like, I don't think that there's one way that goes. I think it is completely dependent on the friendship and on the people in them. But there's been, I feel like there was that article in The Cut. I'm not sure if you guys read it. It came out early last fall, I think, about, like, why can't our friendship survive your baby? And there is something that there's a shift in a dynamic between friends when one person has a baby and one doesn't, even if the friendship is perfectly healthy. And even if you know that, like, you know, you guys are going to be friends for life, it still shifts something. It just, I think it's impossible not to. And I think that, you know, if you don't have kids, there's stuff that you just don't understand, not that that's a bad quality, but it's just that you don't know it if you're not living it. And so I think that also kind of complicates Cassie and Billy's friendship and causes Cassie to get really frustrated, etc. And so, yeah, I think that there's definitely a spectrum of, you know, what those kinds of friendships look like. But I think that for Cassie and Billy, it's not really something that they are able to find a way forward, like, being that different from each other.
So a little bit about just the background of their friendship. Cassie, I mean, they both come from different family situations. And in a way, you know, Cassie does have two parents that are together. They might not be, for various reasons, they might not be providing the life for her that she would like. But Billy has a father who is not there anymore and a mother who's going through something, which is a bit upsetting for everybody involved. And I don't want to talk about that too much, but she's also dating somebody who isn't great. And, you know, circumstance brings Cassie and Billy together as well. And it does shape some of their friendship and just the course of the book. Were you always sure as to what the secret buried in their background was going to be?
That's a good question. No, I wasn't. I knew that, the flashback chapters in part one, I needed to culminate in at some very tense point. No spoilers. I think that I kind of figured that out as I went. I didn't know like specifically, what the event would be or who would be responsible. No spoilers again. It's kind of hard to talk about without giving spoilers, but I kind of like knew I had like an outline of what I the sense of like where I wanted to go with that twist. And then yeah, I kind of filled in the blanks as I wrote. But I will say the suspicions that Cassie has about kind of like her past catching up with her present, that was added in kind of a later after a draft or two like of editing with my editor and agent. And so I think that helped kind of like heighten that plot line. Yeah, but I tend to kind of like know where I'm going with the book at like and have like intervals of where I know that I need to get, but I'm not so much of an outliner that I know exactly how I'm going to get there until I'm writing or until I'm like at least closer to that point and can kind of see it more clearly.
You're what I like to call a discovery writer, where you kind of discover certain things as the characters do. Like, you know there's something and you're writing and you know certain points you have to go through, but it's almost like you're figuring it out. You're figuring out where everything meets as the characters do.
Yeah, I guess I don't. I mean, I have outlined before, but I don't feel super confident in my ability to outline something so perfectly that like it's not going to change. Like, I just don't. It's so hard to know what's going to work until you're actually writing it.
It's very
So
effective.
that's
I'm actually saying that is a good thing.
okay.
Because I feel, oh no, that wasn't a criticism. I think some of my favorite books are written by the term pantser. I've like kind of got annoyed with it recently. I'm like, I don't like using that term anymore. But like, I think
Yeah.
discovery writers are, it's a lot of fun, because I think there's different types of writing, and it doesn't make it less effective. When you're really in there with your character, figuring out what their past is. And it's almost like, I've heard like them say, like, the character tells you, like, oh, this is what happened. And it feels very natural when you read it.
Yeah. Totally. I will say this book did feel pretty fully formed in my head. Not that that translated to like a meticulous outline because it didn't, but it did feel pretty clear to me what this idea was before I started writing. Especially the first half. Like I really had the first half down in my head and wrote it, and it really came out pretty easily, which is not always the case for me. And so that it was a really great writing experience. And then with the second half, that took a bit more thought because like I had a very clear idea of where I was going, like in the middle of the book, right before we hit part two. And I kind of needed to like flesh out part two a little bit more when I got there.
I think it's a great book. I love recommending it to people. I like recommending your writing in general, most of your books, so that. I am kind of curious, like, I don't know if this is like you intentionally do stuff like this, but when talking with Jessica, because we're like, oh, did you read it yet? What part are you up to? I was just curious, does music inspire you a lot? Because in this book, you have Billy is called Billie Jean by her mom's boyfriend. And then I don't think Jessica and I will ever get over Tell Me Lies of the Cranberry song Zombie. Like, we could just look at each other and be like, Zombie,
Every time
something
the
like
song's
that.
on, I'm like, ah, yes.
I was like, damn,
Wait, what is
music.
your connection to zombie? That's so funny because I feel like not
I
everyone.
don't even have a huge one. I literally from that book, I'm like, now all I think of the best
Yeah.
song is that book. I
It was
just envision the
popular when
cover.
I was in high school, but and
Yeah.
especially considering that the thing that happened, for those who have not listened to Tell Me Lies or read Tell Me Lies, I'm not going to say what happens, but the thing that happens did happen in an area which is near where I live.
Which is how we first got connected, I
Which is
believe.
how we, yes, exactly. So, I do find that song now, every time it comes on, I think about Tell Me Lies and that scene, and I'm like,
Same.
oh, Steven.
I know. I love that. I love that you guys think that because that song for me is like it's like a really triggering song for me. I think about like just some hard memories from probably traumatic memories from college, like associated with that song that are like, it's like very bittersweet. And it's not a song that like people don't bring it up that often. I feel like people talk about like the Fleetwood Mac angle more, but
Oh, yeah.
yeah, Zombie is, yeah, like I don't know if I could really listen to that song except on, maybe once in a blue moon.
For me, that's Tori Amos, pretty much every Tori Amos song. I cannot listen to Tori Amos, be not because I don't think she's good, but because I find her voice very triggering. So I get it. I love you, Tori Amos. I'm glad
Interesting.
you're listening to this,
I
but your voice is very emotional, and it definitely is sometimes hard for me to listen to.
happens. Yeah, I mean, maybe like for me, it's more not the voice, but it's more like whatever memory is triggered. I get really nostalgic, and like there are songs from college or like high school that I listen to, and I'm just like, this almost like hurts to listen to because I'm so nostalgic listening to this. I don't know why. So like maybe that's why I include music in my books. I mean, I love music. I don't really listen to like great music these days. It's a lot of like the Frozen soundtrack, but I once upon a time, I mean, I love music and I always try to incorporate it into my books. I try to choose like one artist and incorporate it into each book. Like I feel like Tell Me Lies was Fleetwood Mac. Too Good to Be True was Billy Joel. Can't Look Away was Elton John. And By Baby, I would say is Alanis Morissette. The Billie Jean thing was just sort of like I wanted to make her stepdad Wade sound creepy. Doesn't really have to do with Michael Jackson, although I do love Michael Jackson's music.
Okay, so again, I think that I love the music angle. I'm a big fan of music in my stories. When I'm reading, I like to listen to music while I'm walking, and it keeps my mind moving, so I like it in books too. Are you working on anything coming up? And does music have anything to do with it? I had to put that in there because otherwise that pivot was really, really sharp.
True, true. Yes, I am working on something new. By Baby is part of a two book deal for St. Martin, so I'm contracted for another book, and so I'm working on it. It's funny that you asked that music question because no, right now, no, but like I said, I really do always like to have one artist kind of associated with every book, even if I don't know why, like just for myself, maybe. But I do like I've been thinking, oh, in another like in my second draft of this, like which artist do I want to kind of incorporate into this story in some way. So no artist yet, but this one is, I can't say too much about it because I've only written like probably half of it and it's a very rough first draft, but it's pretty dark. I would say that it's darker than anything I've ever written. And I feel like it's kind of challenging me. This story feels less like By Baby felt very accessible to me. It sort of felt just like right underneath the surface and kind of just came out. And this story feels just like more work. And it's like, I'm pushing myself a little more, to go a little darker than I have. And so that's a little intimidating. And I'm like, is this going to be a disaster? But I think, you know, that's just like part of being a writer I'm learning, is you kind of just have to go with it and write it and see where the story goes. And so, yes, it is about motherhood and it is dark. That's really what I can say so far.
May I suggest either Tori Amos or Fiona Apple?
I'm going to listen to both of those artists.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure how familiar you are, but they can rip your heart out.
I'm not like super familiar with either of them, but I definitely know their music. So I feel like I need to go on Spotify and listen.
Just check it out. Just putting that out there.
But then you'll be too triggered to even read my book if it has to do with Tori Amos.
I was like, it's written by you, so she's gonna love it no matter what.
That is 100% true. And to be honest with you, I can actually listen to her music if it's sung by somebody else.
So we need like a cover. Yes. We need like a band to cover her songs.
Oh, well, what is it? I think for the Yellow Jackets TV series, Florence and the Machine covered Cornflake Girl, which is one of my favorites. Oh. It's one of my favorite Tori songs. There's some others, and I've been like desperate to find other covers. There is something very distinct about listening to the originals that remind me of some things, which I think is, you know, the other triggering thing. But I won't be triggered by your book. Don't worry. If it's mentioned.
Okay, good.
Yes.
That's exciting to hear. I feel like your books cover such like a variety of different things. Like, I think like a commonality is that there are toxic people in relationships and someone could relate to it, whether very strongly or just like, oh yeah, I sort of know someone like with similarities. But it's interesting to see how you'll take on something darker with that, because some people will argue, oh, but these books are kind of already dark with messed up people. So that's usually how I'm like, here's another book by Carola Lover. Like, yeah, let's get into it with the messy people. Like, we love learning and getting inside their heads, which I think, like, I mean, look, I'm someone who's a fan of true crime, and like, I look into like cult leaders and serial killers. So what does that say about me?
Well, I don't think my book will be quite that scary. Okay. That sounds terrifying.
Good to know, because then I could be like, more patrons read this, or listeners in the case of our podcast. But it's exciting. But I was curious about, did you choose the cover art of the book for My Baby, or was it like kind of been like, here's like a presentation and this is what we choose for your book from the publisher?
So no, I did not choose it. I am absolutely in love with it. I'm obsessed. I think it's my favorite cover of any of my books. It's hard to choose a favorite, but I do think so. I did not choose it. It was really, the way that it works, at least for me, is that my team, you know, I think I might have given them like a conceptual idea of something that I thought could be cool. And I don't even remember if I said, I feel like I have said this before for other books, like that one singular object on the cover of a book is kind of cool to like capture your attention. I don't remember if I said that about My Baby or like Maybe Can't Look Away, but I mean, that's aside the point. Like, the team the team kind of presents the cover to me when they feel like it's ready. And so I don't get like a choice of covers. It's more like, this is what the jacket designer, Olga at St. Martin's, this is like what she has come up with that everyone on the team is really excited about and thinks works. And so they show that cover to me and they're like, you know, this is the cover. And unless you have like a huge objection, obviously they'll listen to me, but my editor presents it to me very much as like, I think you're going to love this. And I think this really works. And like, I hope that you agree. And I always have with my covers. So I love it. One thing I will, like, kind of a fun fact about this book that I'm proud of is that By Baby is the only title that I have ever come up with on my own.
Whoa.
You're kidding.
Yeah. All my other titles have changed, or I've submitted them like untitled. And then my team has brainstormed, but this is the only one that like I submitted it as By Baby, came up with the title, and it's actually still the title. So I feel proud of that because in the past I have not successfully come up with any titles.
That's awesome. I love the title, but I love the cover because, as you said, it's like a friendship breakup, and just seeing the little like two friendship things, because I'm always used to like seeing those regardless that, you know, I'm in my mid-30s. I'm just like, oh, like friendship earrings, friendship bracelets, necklace, like, or, you know, like even, I mean, not even like with friendships, but like this, I'm mindlessly on social media on TikTok where it's like, oh, one has this, and if you touch the other one, it lights up, and all these gizmos and doodads. But I think it's such a good cover.
I think so too. And I'll show you guys, I have it right here. I know this won't be on the podcast, but there's the spine has like this on the top, which I think is cool.
Yeah.
It has like the image of the bracelet on the spine, which I love it. Awesome. I think the colors really pop.
For those who don't know, the spine has the locket and the shadow and the it's really effective. Good stuff.
I like that it's on the spine though, because I read the digital copy, advanced reader's copy, and I was like, just like, oh, I'm just gonna keep swiping and reading. And I have to say, like like all your other books that I've read, like you get like absorbed into the story and it becomes like a quick read. And you're just like, what is going on with them? How did this one think this? Or what's going on with that? Like, I would say, like, the psychological suspense, like, really draws you in because you're just like, I need to know what else is going on. Like, I need to know more. So I'd say I think your fans are going to love this, and you'll get even more new fans because Jessica and I won't stop talking about it at work. That we even pushed the book on one of our coworkers. We're like, you're going to love this.
Oh, true. Thank you guys. Well, your support really means a lot. So I really, really appreciate you and all the librarians. And I've become a big library person. I work at the library a lot now.
Awesome.
Yay.
Well, thank you so much. This has been amazing. Check out By Baby. When does it officially come out?
March 5th.
Yes. So March by 5th, so yeah. this interview, so yes, by the time this interview is out, we will be 2 days on the shelves. So run to your bookstores or your libraries. Who knows, maybe Carola will be writing at the library. don't bother her though, because we want that book. and check out My Baby. And we are going to close this chapter of Turn the Page.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.